We are live. We come alive on the live.
Good afternoon.
Happy holidays, everyone. Let's just wait for 28 seconds, as usual, for everyone to meet, be here. It's a holiday-ish feeling right now. I don't think many people would join.
We have 5 people right now. Let's try to get 5 more and then we'll start.
Yes. And we cannot see you on all channels. So if you have joined, just say hi in comments from wherever you are joining. Please say hi.
We can't see you. So wherever you're joining from, just say hi.
Great. I have an itchy nose.
Which is the topic of our conversation today.
We are going to talk about itchy noses. It's actually a very interesting topic. You know, more important thing you are doing, more you cannot scratch your nose, more itch you get in your nose. And it has special muscles. If you're lying, you start feeling itchy. Okay. Just to remind you what we are going to talk about today. You remember, right? Do you? Today we are going to talk about how to take your wonderful plan and make it successful. How to take a plan and convert it into an action. We are going to talk about from plan to action. We are ready if you are. Just say hi in comments if you have joined. You can say anything. You can say where you're from. You can say what's for lunch. You can say what are you looking forward to over this long weekend and anything else that you want. And with that, we should get started because we want to talk about important things and then go eat important food. So, if you have just joined, we are going to talk about how to convert your plan into an action, how to make your plan successful. Oh, that means most plans fail. So do you want to tell us why most plans fail?
There's a lot of reasons why plans fail, and the more familiar you are with those reasons, the better job you can do making sure they don't fail. In terms of a business context, in terms of plans that fail, you know, sometimes the people that create the requirements for those plans are not the same people that are managing the development of the plan. So what happens is you have one set of interests that focus on specific requirements for all kinds of reasons. It could be political reasons, it could be other things you have no visibility into, that the requirements are crafted the way they are. And then when those requirements and you and people have agreed to fulfill those requirements, move to the next phase where a stakeholder is managing a plan that's been agreed upon by another department, that stakeholder is inheriting a set of expectations and needs and outcomes that they may or may not be fully on board with. And they may be bringing a layer of their own objectives to the table. So right from the get-go, you might have a very well-intended plan and a strategy you've crafted with particular criteria. But as it changes from person to person, it becomes filled with new expectations and new complexities. So that's one place that they fail, is there's too many. The people that are involved in creating the beginning of the plan are not involved in seeing it through, and the handoff isn't smooth. Other reasons plans fail. I mean, you know, sometimes there isn't a realistic understanding about the capability of executing a plan. You know, they say, you know, all these things are possible. We want to do everything, and the budget or the timeline or the quality or the ability of the people on the ground is very different than what's required to make the plan succeed. So there's a misalignment as often creates a fail. I would say the most important reason that they fail is the lack of communication between different folks in the planning cycle. So the communication about what's going to make this plan effective and why the plan is going to work and how is it going to work changes as different people are involved in it. And it's like that game of telephone that we used to play when we were little. As it goes from one person to the other, the essence of that communication and message change. And the plan sometimes changes with it, but no one's updated the plan or told the stakeholders that it's changed. So it's more likely to fail because of the lack of that communication.
So you're saying two main reasons, because one is if you have created a strategy or plan, whatever you call it, if you have created a strategy or plan without considering people who are actually going to execute it, their capabilities, their wishes, their orientation and everything. And the second thing you're talking about is the communication. If there is a communication gap or if there is communication deterioration happening, then whatever your plan or strategy might be, it's not going to work. How do you prevent that?
Most importantly, you notice that it's happening. And seeing that it's happening, seeing that there's a disconnect between the intent and the way it's being used, it's really good to have a meeting to discuss and recognize that there's a disconnect between the intention and the action. Most importantly is you create space that recognizes it and together work to identify and bridge the shortcomings in that plan. And that's almost always what needs to happen. And then in the very beginning, you can construct a plan that has certain protocol, like weekly meetings or certain kind of dialogue built in that really would reduce the opportunity and likelihood that things go awry.
Yeah. But sometimes, you do have such standing meetings, short meetings to keep up the speed and everything. And then yet you see, either you see that in those meetings, they start becoming a waste of time or they don't serve a purpose. So what do you do to prevent that?
You change the focus of the meeting. So on the one hand, you can have a standing meeting that's 10 minutes long and has a particular format, which is you can use an agile lean startup protocols here, but there's lots of ways of doing standing meetings where you basically just share the essential information that everybody needs to hear. And that's different than a 45-minute meeting or an hour meeting. But if you really have like a formula where you're going, saying certain things over and over again in a particular way, and it's quick, and it's more about keeping people updated, it's very different than a meeting that's designed to talk about some major things that are changing or seeking input on a new direction. So change the focus of the meeting to get the outcome you need. And if you don't need the meeting, then cut it.
Yeah, and also activating, involving, keeping it interesting so that people don't float away, especially in the virtual world where, people can just, you can lose people very easily. Tell me, what is an example of the time when you or your team successfully executed a plan? Effectively and swiftly moved from idea to execution.
This is what we do all day long. So there's a lot of examples, but one of my favorites happened maybe 13 or 14 years ago. And this was about 9 years ago. This was a CEO who was raising awareness and funds to end homelessness. And she wanted to utilize technology, specifically social media, to talk about a journey that she was taking on a bike across parts of the country. And so we understood the strategy. We understood why she was doing it. We understood the different business outcomes and personal outcomes that mattered to her. And we also understood the challenges of making the tech work smoothly and seamlessly so she could communicate while mobile and while riding her bike across the country. So we rounded up the right team of technology, PR, social media, and business stakeholders. We created a plan that outlined what everyone was to do, and we equipped people to do their job effectively and held ongoing meetings both before, during, and after this process. And what made it so effective was there was a lot of variables, and it was very easy for things to go awry. We were able to use good communication, keep true to the heart and the nature of what we're trying to do, but be agile enough to move to the left or right and become more effective depending on the results we were getting.
Do you think, you know, from this example that you gave, it feels like, and what I hear is, if you involve people who are going to execute it from the strategy phase in the planning, in the plan itself, then you will, there will be a sense of ownership. And when there is that sense of ownership, even when there are lots of variables, people will do things because they feel like it's their project and not because someone else is asking them to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is, you know, what I mentioned was just one of the many ways that you can make a plan to action journey really smooth and enjoyable. Do you have any more easy ways to increase that success?
Yeah, I think that the clarity of a milestone, right? Is a milestone like a submitted PowerPoint document that happens at a particular stage? Or is a milestone when a key decision is going to be made? So how can you create milestones that have more momentum behind them, or more people get behind them, and they're more about bringing things to life and more about kind of turning them on as opposed to check the boxes? So I think really thinking about how you're framing and talking about your milestones is a really important thing. And also just being very clear with all the stakeholders involved in the development of the strategy, really what's at stake and what you don't want to have happen and what you do want to have happen as a result of the plan being in place. I mean, are you really looking for a document that's designed to get people on the same page and raise funds? Or are you really looking for a document that's easy to follow and that you have buy-in from the folks who are executing it? Those require lots of different skills, like listening and talking to people and being effective at understanding what their capabilities are, which is really different than putting together, you know, a request for funding or all different kinds of plans. So make sure to take the right steps to talk to the right people, get their input, and build it in to strengthen and support the plan.
Yeah, and simplify. Make everything easy, easy to understand for everyone, not just heavy and gorgeous looking, but it needs to be extremely easy to understand for everyone. And you talked about milestones, you talked about, you know, the deliverables at milestone. What is your opinion? Do you think that the duration of a project impacts its likelihood of success?
Well, if you just think about, if we were in 2019 in November and we were creating a plan for this year that was a year long, there's so many variables that happen this year, so many things that are hard to predict, that the further out you go, the more likely those variables come into fruition. So I think that it becomes increasingly important to de-risk the plan by understanding trends, by talking to the right people, by being really thoughtful about what's coming up ahead. Because if you don't, you then kind of assume that the plan is built and the world hasn't changed. And that's not a right assumption. The world is going to change. So looking at, you know, the map of the macro trends, the micro trends, the shifts that are happening, and building all that into your assumption of how to create the plan, it's really going to be important to ensure a more successful result.
Yeah. Doesn't mean you go on a huge research project before your project. It's just general awareness of what is happening around you, what might happen, where the things might change is helpful. And do you think, like, you know, if all projects are done in the form of sprints where you do certain amount of tasks, then you stop, you reflect, you test, you take your learnings, and then you go ahead. It's going to work better than having a full-fledged plan for, say, 3 years.
I think that's certainly the direction that we're headed in. And by we, I mean, you know, modern, effective, well thought about companies are taking smarter bets. They're doing more test and learn actions. They're coming up with hypotheses and they're validating them. And then they're doing a series of them before they come up with, you know, big outlays of budget. So the question is, you know, how can you create, you know, MVPs and prototypes? How can you validate this and do enough of them that says this direction has become de-risked? We've taken the risk out. Now let's fund it because it makes more sense. And now let's scale it because we've seen all this traction. So I definitely think that sprint-like structure can be much more effective than the kind of developing a book of assumptions that aren't validated.
And validated, and they're not going to stay true for a long time. You know, teams change, people change, the factors inside of a project, outside of a project change. There are just so many changes happening. It's always, and maybe, you know, sometimes even the things that you learn on your way while doing the project, if you have very rigid, very well-structured, and really long-term plan, then you may not be able to use your learning along the way to improve the project itself. And with that, if you have any questions, those who are listening, if you have any questions, any comments, anything, you can put them in the comments window of whichever platform you're using. And let me see. Just checking for a question. Yeah, well, what if there is a problem person on the team? Like, what if there is, you know, how to deal with like many a times, you know, we have seen that, you know, in one of the most important variables is human beings. Sometimes their interest changes, and sometimes they just, your assumptions about those people's capabilities are different. How do you deal with that?
I found the first is understanding their intention. Are they a problem person because they don't like you and they want your strategy to fail so that they're there to actively undermine it? Or are they trying to be heard and they have valid points of view, even if you don't agree with them, but they're still valid? So if it's the first, you know, if it's someone who's intentionally trying to sabotage, you know, that's an HR issue. That's an issue that requires a lot of care and time, and that's an interpersonal conflict resolution. There's a lot that goes into that piece. Assuming that it's not that you're not trying to be sabotaged, it's very likely that someone's trying to be hurt. And if people have a tendency towards the negative or a tendency to assume that it's not going to work, and I think it's really important that you give them space to talk and that you ask them if they can recognize a different point of view, and what they think about that different point of view. And also you can give them a placement on the team, make them feel special because, oh, here's that point. Here's a point of view that's likely to be contrarian. You know, here you go, Sarah or Bill, like, let's hear that contrarian point of view. What's really important is that they have the space to be heard and considered, especially if it's a reasonable point of view. And then most importantly, it's one thing for someone to constantly, you know, bring up issues and problems and challenges, but it's another thing to ask that person if they have suggestions for how they would like to see it resolved. And by the way, just because you ask someone for their suggestion doesn't mean that you intend to take their advice. I can speak to this personally, yeah. Right? There's many times that my suggestion is sought, that my advice isn't sought, but the suggestion is. But it is important to do that. And if you're really having conflicts and it's not moving forward and these ideas aren't working, you know, creating a space for a one-on-one meeting to share ideas and to ask what's going on and to really get to the bottom of something is incredibly important. And it shows that you're invested in the process. And some people are so busy that they don't do this. And then we have an expression that says, if you want to speed up, you slow down. So sometimes if you want to speed up, you have to start to actively go to the people that are doubting you and challenging you and invite them into conversation to understand more about their intention. And if they intend to be helpful, you can give them advice about how they could deliver their feedback that could make more of a positive impact on the team.
So what I'm hearing from everything that we talked about is a lot of it depends on people. A lot of it depends on people in taking them along, bringing them together, and actually collaborating. Not just saying collaboration as a cool word, but actually taking their point of views, their ways of working, and making use of as much as you can to make the project successful.
Now, I'll tell you one thing more, which is the biggest challenge that we face in our business is people are entitled to change their mind. However, when you start to build a house and the foundation for the house has been poured in concrete and improved, when there's a constant changing of the mind after that concrete has been laid, the foundation, it becomes very challenging. So it's really important to get very clear on why is the plan being built? What do we want to accomplish? What are the parameters? How will it be resourced, etc.? Getting all that clear before you get too far along, because then there's still time to make changes. But if you get so far along and it's built off of a foundation that wasn't communicated clearly or effectively, it can be difficult to make those adjustments.
With that, because this is a pre-holiday live, we are going to keep it short today. If you have any questions, feel free to put those in comments or send it to us later whenever you listen to this. And if you're listening to a recorded version, you can still leave them in comments and we will get back to you. And our next session, our next live is not going to be this year. It's going to be in 2021. How does it feel? Like 2020 is over. Does it feel like life is changing?
Yes.
So our next session.
We have a comment.
There is someone, a thing.
And Dr. Sussman has a comment for us. He says, when you put together a team, do you place people that are more like-minded to keep workflow smoother or less like-minded for different points of view, which could slow the progress down? You want to go first?
Yes, yeah, of course. That's a really good question, Andrew. That's like one of the most important questions to know. So you actually, you know, diversity in everything is going to give you better results. It is going to make your team more creative, more innovative. So diversity of everything, including the mindset, is important. But it's very difficult to work with. You know, even for the best of the best corporations and organizations, it's very difficult to work with a lot of diversity. However, if you create that ability to be able to get the best out of all the diverse nature of everything, and we can have one session just talking about how to work with diverse teams. And it goes back to the underlying mindset of being acceptable and open, and then there are certain tools that you can use to make use of that diversity. So short answer is yes, you want people of different mindsets on your team to make your team very powerful.
Now, I'll say one thing about this, which is there's a slight difference between like-minded and compatible, you know, because people can be like-minded, which is, you know, they think similar thoughts, they come from a similar place. But like-minded people can also clash. But compatible people, for instance, maybe they have different points of view, but they respect each other and they're fluid. You know, and we believe that it's more important to have a team of diverse people that challenge each other, that understand each other, that respect each other, and are very willing to collaborate and respect each other's differences because they work well and function smoothly as a team.
Yeah. And they have this sense of ownership and, in sense of ownership and in general, the respect for each other. Those are the most important things. It doesn't matter what background they come from, educational skills or anything else for that matter, but it matters whether they are respectful towards each other, whether they have that openness to listen to someone. And there was one more point. I forgot. Andrew, I'll let you know later.
If there's any other questions, we love them and you're welcome to ask them.
Yeah. We can end it. And before I go, I want you to know, save the date for the next live, which is going to be on Jan 13, 2021. Obviously, send us the topics that you would like to listen about. And we are very happy to incorporate those topics as long as they're about people and business and success. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season and wish you a very happy new year.
Take care.
Have as much fun as you can. Only a few days left in 2020.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.